Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Diane Taylor. Each week at this time, we visit with a local author. We get an introduction to their work, perhaps a glimpse into their lives. We ask them what prompts them to write, where the stories came from, what lies behind them, and we have an opportunity to hear them read from their work. Today, we're very pleased to have Diane Taylor with us. Diane is publishing her new book, The Gift of Memoir, a book about writing memoirs, this winter with BPS Books. She has, in fact, written her own memoir previously. She published The Perfect Galley Book, an account of her adventures building and sailing a trimaran in the Caribbean for several years, in 1984. Over the years, she's written a great variety of articles for all kinds of magazines and newspapers. She's also ghostwritten and edited a number of memoirs for other people and has taught memoir writing in Port Hope and Peterborough for many years. So, Diane, your new book is all about the value and importance of writing memoir. Tell us why you think this form of writing is something that should be tried by everyone.
There are so many reasons for writing memoir. In my classes, I go over 40 different ways that I have come up with so far, and I keep adding to that list. But perhaps one of the most important is that it's a way of passing on what you have learned to your children and your grandchildren. It's a way of being present in their lives after you are no longer here. It's also a chance for you to tell your story from your point of view, and someone who's reading that story might be quite different, and this gives them a chance to understand you. This increases empathy, and empathy makes for a better world with less violence. It's also a way for you to not forget your own life. It's a way for you to keep track of where you have come from and where you are going to. Philip Marchand has written a book called Ghost Empire, How the French Almost Conquered North America. And it's his effort to give himself roots, himself and his descendants. And it's filled with longing, a longing to fill in the blanks of what he doesn't know. He says that having a history, especially a history of before you were born, is a psychic necessity. And I think that's true, that if you know where you have come from, where your parents have come from, and what they have been through, that it helps you live your own life. Writing is also therapeutic. It can help you heal to write about tough stuff. And there are actually studies about this that show that the immune system is enhanced when you get things off your chest.
That's a really interesting take on writing memoir. So it's not necessarily writing it to have a finished product or book that's going to be read by other people. It could just be a journey you take on your own to find out more about yourself.
Well, that's right. It can be just for you. You don't have to share it with anyone. It does tremendous good just to have it in a file folder, knowing that that's what you went through and that you survived it and that you have moved forward.
Now, you've been writing and teaching memoir for many years, so you've probably learned a great deal about it along the way. What have been your greatest rewards from this whole process?
Well, absolutely the greatest, I would say, is hearing other people's stories when we sit in class of 10 or so sitting around a table and people have opportunity to write in class about various topics and then they read. And it's a great privilege to hear their stories. I'm always moved.
Do you think you could read us a short excerpt from Gift of Memoir?
Yes, sure. This is from a chapter, I've called it The Lifespan of a Memory, because there are ways of going back to pick up memories that have died. And if we don't have a purpose for them, that's what happens to them, they disappear. And this is my personal exploration into retrieving one particular memory. On the occasion of my father's 77th birthday, I wanted to do something especially meaningful for him. Who knew how many more birthdays he would have? I'd been his daughter for 51 of those years. At the time, I was having a rough time surviving in Toronto as a supply teacher, teaching grade 9 French and adult English as a second language at a Scarborough high school, and feeling like an alien in Canada when I really wanted to be back in the Caribbean with my tribe. My attention was on preparing lessons for the next day, still trying to stay sane in spite of the loss of my family there. And at the time, Dad and I were not seeing eye to eye. For a while, I was on unemployment insurance, living at home. I wanted to borrow his car to drive to the unemployment office 20 miles away, and he said no. We were quick to flare up at each other. Then we weren't talking. He was so distraught by this that he consulted a therapist. I was distraught too, but too busy to deal with it head on. I decided to write him a long thank you letter for all the things, material and of the spirit, that he had given me over the years. I bought a new pen. I bought special paper, yellow, because that was his favorite color. Early December, a month before his birthday, I sat down one evening with this pen and paper at my desk. I sat and thought. I wrote, "Thank you." I looked out the window at the tumbling yellow maple leaves, my mind a blank. I didn't know it was going to be this difficult. Then something shifted and I focused more on him, pointed at him with my mind, you could say. I wrote, "Thank you for giving me your love of words." A few memories had come to me about the stories he used to tell with great Irish gusto. Then my mind jumped back to how he had supported me as a proud father during my years as a teacher. "Ah," I wrote, "thank you for the leather briefcase my first year teaching. I still have it and keep special things in it." I wrote surprisingly little in the hour I had set aside, just those two things. The next night I set aside the same hour and sat with the same yellow paper at the same desk and picked up the same pen. I pulled my mind away from the day into the space I had created for my father. I wrote down three more things: teaching me to drive, to plant a tree, to not fear thunder. It was a little strange to be thinking about my father's earlier years, making him, not me, the focus. It felt like opening a door to a room I seldom visited and peering in. During spare moments the next day, I found that I was occasionally thinking about what I could say. In subsequent days, I looked forward to adding to my list of memories. There was an excitement to bringing dormant images to life. I saw him drying my long red hair on Sunday afternoons with that pink hair dryer, singing in his off-key voice when I played Christmas carols, working all those years at a job he didn't like to support his family. After a couple of weeks, the memories poured in. I filled up page 1, page 2, page 3, each with about 25 gifts, then filled up pages 4 and 5. I was becoming awake and aware to his lifespan. It was now a span of memories. Before I knew it, his birthday was upon me, and I had to quickly finish the letter. I folded my work and placed it inside the card. Dad was no longer as quick as he once was. I wondered what his response would be. Silently, he read through them all. Then he looked up, his gravelly voice carefully enunciating, "It's all here." But it wasn't. Once I got started, I could have gone on and on. That door opening, it was my heart. Where does a life go? Either into the air or onto paper where all can see it. Not that all will. Either it's invisible where the danger is, out of sight, out of mind, or it's visible in words or in paintings, sculpture, or documentaries, if those are your artistic bents. I don't mean to say that an unrecorded life doesn't have great meaning or usefulness. Far from it. All people pass on traditions and love, anger and apology to those within their reach. We survive it all because of the endless caring acts of others. Still, a lifetime is ephemeral. To write a memoir is to create a story, and stories stay. The key to this kind of memory retrieval is simply sending a message to your mind, which includes your subconscious, to remember, or call it reclaim or restore. An unintended and unexpected result of my month of remembering was that Dad and I got along better. The history of our relationship, now out in the open, softened the brittle present. I retrieved the father I'd lost track of. How many people writing memoir have fathers to reclaim?
Well, thank you. That really is food for thought. Maybe we should all go and write such a letter. Now we'll take a short break.